So, hey, will you stand with me? We're going to look at our text for this morning. It's from 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. It says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Father, we thank you for this truth this morning, this reality that we desperately want to press into and live into as your children, as those who love you and seek you. And so, God, we ask that your word would do a work in our hearts and our minds today and draw us into yourself. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so I want to tell you a story. Years ago, Doreen and I had gone to Haiti, and we were walking around at night with the missionary couple there. And I don't know if you've ever been in a third world country at night, but I cannot explain to you just how dark it is. It is so dark when you go to a place where man-made light and electricity shuts off, oftentimes when the sun goes down, and there's virtually no light anywhere. And so we're walking in this pitch black, and every few steps, the missionary who's walking with us, he and his wife, he'd go, "Tarantula, tarantula, tarantula." And so we're walking along, and we're trying to step over them as we see them. And it wasn't so much that, you know, we had this deep reverence for God's creation that we didn't want to crush the tarantulas. We kind of did. But we didn't want them crawling on our feet because, you know, you're wearing sandals when you're in a third world country and it's hot. And so we couldn't see them. But he saw virtually everyone and would just, in the darkness, could just pick them out on the ground as we're walking around. And it was a good thing because there's no telling how many we would have stepped on or had crawl on our feet. But here's the spiritual lesson I learned from that. Don't ever confuse your eyes being acclimated to the dark with walking in the light. Here's what I mean. Don't think just because you see well in the dark that you're actually walking in the light. We fall into that a lot of times. And this lesson reminds me of 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. And so we're starting a new series today called Love in Action. If our last series, The Heart of Neighboring, we saw that the heart of neighboring is actually a heart of love and hospitality and truth and prayer. And all of those things are being perfected in us in Christ. And hopefully we've been pursuing that heart. Hopefully throughout that series, you begin to find yourself welling up in your heart with hospitality and love and truth and prayer towards others. And my hope is that kind of becomes our baseline of how we move about in the world, that we move about in the world with hearts for others. And having a heart of neighboring actually leads us to a place where we should be putting the love of Christ into action in how we shine and what we abide in and what we do. And as we're going to see today, how we walk. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore how to live a life of love in action as we walk through 1 John. And so in our text today, we're encouraged to walk in light. And I want to bring three things out today. First is what it means to actually walk in the light. We need to understand what that means. The second is what are the effects on our lives when we walk in the light? And then finally, I want to give you a simple practice that helps keep us walking in the light. And so the word walk in Scripture, we see it in several places. It's both an exhortation to walk in a certain way and a warning not to walk in a certain way. And so the Greek word for walk here is the word peripatio. And in the Hebrew context, what this Greek word means is how you conduct your life. It's not just simply a path. It's thinking of participating in a course of your life. It's your daily habits the way you think and act, all the activities that make up your daily routine. And so we have to know that we will walk in something either intentionally or accidentally, but we all have a walk. That walk needs to be in the true spirit of what John uses here, this word peripatio, needs to be based on purposeful thoughts, habits, actions, and activities. If we're not intentional in how we walk, then we'll walk by accident. And our walk will become driven by haphazardness and will lack any intentionality. But make no mistake, you have a walk. We all do. And it's either intentional or it's accidental. But we have one. And so knowing this hopefully makes it clear why we practice spiritual disciplines, why we say, I want to embrace the spiritual disciplines as a habitual course of life that intentionally orients my life around God. And in doing that, it creates space for the Holy Spirit to have His way in my heart and my mind. Remembering this, spiritual practices are not about what happens while we do them, as much as they are about being made into people who will walk in the light, being intentional in setting our walk. And so when we talk about spiritual practices, that's what we're talking about. Structuring our daily routine so that we walk in the light, so that we become people who instinctively and intentionally walk in the light. And that's what walk means in a scriptural sense. It's how we conduct ourselves in our daily routine, our routine of thought, desire, action, and pursuit. Now listen, we all have a walk. We all have a daily routine. But it comes down to this. Have I set my daily routine intentionally, or has it just set me by happening accidentally? And I know some people see their walk as a product of the things beyond their control. I walk the way I walk because of wounds I have, because of trauma I've experienced, because of my upbringing, because of my economics, because of my parents, and a whole litany of other things. My life is this way because of what's happened to me. But listen, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that walking is a matter of what we're looking at, not what's happened to us. He says, you choose. Are you going to walk by faith or are you going to walk by sight? See, faith in the light of the world who is Jesus, or are you going to walk by sight in what we see before us now? The troubles, the wounds, the hurts, the politics, the economics, the upbringing, and all those other things. You got to choose what you're going to walk by, faith or sight. And in in 1 John 1:7, John writes this, but if we walk in the light, John makes it clear that our walk is a choice by saying, but if we walk in the light. And to see this point, we see that our walk is our participation in a course of life, a routine of life established by our thoughts, desires, actions, and what we pursue. But John doesn't just say walk, he says walk in the light. And he reinforces this in verse 12 of chapter 8 in his gospel. Listen to this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light, and to walk in the light is to follow him. And so now we need to bring light into what it means to walk. And that leads us to this. Walking in the light means to have a routine of life that has the thoughts, desires, actions, and pursuits of Jesus as its pattern and foundation. That's what it means to walk in the light. It's a habitual, routine, daily lifestyle that has the thoughts, desires, actions, and pursuits of Jesus as its pattern and foundation. So when John says walk in the light, this is what he's saying we must do. We must choose to let the reality and truth of the person of Jesus be the foundation on which we decide how we will think, what we will want, where we will go, what we will do. That's what it means to walk in the light. That's walking in the light, but I want to press it out a little bit more by way of contrast. Sometimes it's a little easier to see another facet of something when you look at the other side of it, when you look at the opposite of it. And so Paul gives us a contrast in Colossians 3:7. He writes this, "In these you too once walked when you were living in them." Now in this verse, Paul uses the same word, peripatio, for walk, that John uses. And then he gives us a laundry list of evidence of walking in the darkness. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying. But see, you have to understand, because Paul introduces this list by saying, do not walk in these things, he's not just giving us a list of things not to do. Because here's the thing. Sin actually is much worse than what we do. For Paul to say, don't walk in these things, he's revealing that the issue isn't simply what we do. These things that are listed as evidence of walking in the darkness, which goes way deeper than just making sinful choices. This actually gets to the heart of the matter of sin. See, these things that Paul lists here are proof that you need more than just to clean up your act and do right. You need a new walk. And that walk, again, is a product of your thoughts, desires, your actions, and your pursuits. So in short, our sin issue actually runs way deeper than we'd like to believe. It can't be resolved simply by being better or changing our habits. We don't walk in the dark because we sin. We sin because we walk in the dark. Does that make sense? Here's why it matters. Because if we think that the problem is our sin, then we will believe that if we just clean up our sin, we will actually be in the light. Think back to my missionary friend spotting tarantulas at night. Why could he do that in the pitch blackness? Because he lived in the dark. He lived in a place that was dark at night. His eyes got used to the darkness. He was able to see things that those of us who don't live in that darkness can see. See, spiritually, some people can see really well in the dark. But that doesn't mean they're walking in the light. We walk in the dark because we're living as the children of the dark. Children of Adam and Eve. Children of sin. But listen, that's not what we were made to be. In Genesis 1, after God created man, he looks upon all of creation, including man, and he says this in verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You might remember that Hebrew phrase that we've talked about a few weeks back, mahod tov, very good, beyond good. Those are the words that are used here in Genesis 1:31. We are living as children of the dark, none good, no one is good, in the way they live, in what they seek, because of the fall, not because of how they were made. We were created, though, as children of the light. Walking in the light is actually returning to our original state, our Genesis 1 state, our Mahod Tov state. Walking in the light is living in God through Christ, as a pattern of life that acknowledges and understands who we were made to be by God and what we've been made to be in Christ. And so now we get to John 12, 36, where Jesus says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Believe in the light, Jesus, and we become the children of the light. In short, being what we were made to be. Restored, redeemed, renewed in Christ. So do you believe that your life would be better without the things of darkness? I'm sure we would all say yes. Think back to that list that Paul gives us in Colossians 3. Do you believe that your life would be better without sexual immorality and lying and coarse talk and slander and malice and impurity and passion? I think we would all say yes. See, here's the thing. Belief in Jesus resolves that. Believe in the light, Jesus. And then you can actually choose to walk in the light because you are children of the light, which is what God created us to be in the first place. So through belief in the light, belief in Jesus, we are being what we were made to be, what God declared us to be in Genesis 1. That's the invitation of redemption. And the outcome of redemption is life with God, present with God. In short, all of this is trying to get us back to that pre-fall state of existence with God in our presence, walking among us. Now, for that to happen, we have to actually walk in the light. Why? Because God is the light. The light of the world is Jesus, sent from God. So walking in the light means to have a routine of life that has the thoughts, desires, actions, and pursuits of Jesus as its pattern and foundation. And it is at deep contrast to the routine that is marked by the troubling and destructive evidences of walking in the darkness. I don't think any of us would deny that. I think we can clearly see how troubling and destructive this proof, these evidences of walking in the darkness can be in our life. Knowing what walking in the light means, now we can move on to the effects of walking in the light. And there's two major effects to walking in the light in verse 7. Listen to this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So the first effect is fellowship. And to fully grasp exactly who we have fellowship with, we need to peek back at verses 5 and 6. Listen to these two verses. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if walking in darkness is proof that we don't have fellowship with God, then walking in the light is proof that we do. Do you see that? And if we go back to verse 3 in 1 John 1, we see this. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And here's the key. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John makes it clear that the fellowship we experience is with God and other believers when we walk in the light. Now think about those nature shows that some of you may not, I know some of you guys like crime shows, I like nature shows. Really, when you get down to it, it's the same thing. Whether it's an animal murdering or it's a person murdering, doesn't really matter. But think about those nature shows, like you're watching these lions in Africa, and you see the one zebra who's kind of straggling off on their own. I watched one the other day, a video of a crocodile going after a baby water buffalo. Let me tell you something. Water buffaloes, mama water buffaloes can swim, and they are mean when their baby's about to be eaten by a crocodile. But think about this: these plains in Africa where there's a herd of zebra roaming around and a lion stalking them. What happens to the zebra that walks off on its own? He gets a new name, right? Dinner. Fellowship first with God and then with other believers is essential to walking in the light. think about animals that are herd animals. I don't believe it's an accident that animals move in herds. I think there might be a spiritual reality that God wants us to see in that. That if you roam off on your own, you're in danger. And when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and other believers, which enables us to walk in the light. So it's a self-perpetuating cycle. If you feel like your life's not walking in the light, get in fellowship with believers who walk in the light, and you begin to walk in the light. But see, here's the thing. John isn't talking about a matter of degrees here. He's not talking about walking more in the light, because light is light. You're either in it or you aren't. I think he's saying this in a way that implies perseverance. We stay in fellowship so that we continue to walk in the light. Fellowship with God and other believers is an effect of walking in the light. And that fellowship actually keeps us walking in the light. And so here's the thing. You want a check engine light on the dashboard of your soul? Here's one for you. When you see the evidence of walking in darkness in your life, when you see the evidence of those things that Paul listed in Colossians 3, the evidence of sexual immorality and lying and malice and anger and impurity, when you see those evidences in your life, here's the question. What are you in fellowship with? When you see the evidence of walking in the dark, let that be an invitation to check your fellowship. Who or what are you in fellowship with? Are you in fellowship with the light or with the darkness? See, I think that one of the biggest reasons that many believers found themselves walking in darkness as a result of the pandemic was loss of fellowship. When we are outside of fellowship with the light, we struggle to walk in the light. And so the effect of fellowship for those of us who are walking in the light is critical. Fellowship with God, fellowship with others. And there's another effect of walking in the light that we get in verse 7. Listen to this. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light keeps us under the cleansing fountain of Jesus' blood. Our sin is washed and being washed as we walk in the light, and our walk becomes less and less influenced by sin and darkness and more influenced by the cleansing nature of Christ. See, this is not about walking perfectly. John makes that clear in verse 8. He says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. John is refuting perfectionism here. He's not demanding it. He's actually pushing it off. And he's magnifying the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of sin and to keep us out of sin in our daily walk. He's not setting up an expectation of perfection. So the effects of walking in the light, first, fellowship with God and other believers. Second, the ongoing cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus in our own lives. See, that's forgiveness and much more. Forgiveness was accomplished and completed on the cross. It's done. Cleansing, the word for cleansing here in the Greek, actually uses the imperfect tense in the Greek language. And the imperfect tense in Greek means this, an action in the past that occurred repeatedly. That's what the imperfect in the Greek is. This cleansing has occurred, and it is recurring when we walk in the light. So Paul's not setting up an expectation of perfection, but he is setting up an expectation of continuation, that you will continue to walk in the light. And as you continue to walk in the light, you will continue to be cleansed because you've been cleansed at the cross. That's what the imperfect means here. And so it's recurring in our daily lives as we walk in the light. And then finally, I want to point out a practice that keeps us walking in the light. And we see that practice in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so a little bit more Greek verb tenses for the grammar geeks out here. The tense for forgive here is the aorist tense, which always conveys a single action. So when you look at the Greek and you see this verb tense for forgiveness in this verse, what you see is a tense that says it's a single action that's happened and done. So confession is an acknowledgement of our forgiveness. Having been forgiven, we then confess. It's not confession for forgiveness. The cross is where forgiveness comes from. To say that we have to be confessing to be forgiven then adds something to the cross. But what we do when we confess is say, Lord, I know that you have forgiven me, and there is no other means of forgiveness other than your cross. So confession is an acknowledgement of our completed forgiveness. But the tense for the word cleanse in this verse isn't the imperfect tense like it was in verse 8. It's actually the aorist again, a single completed action, which means that we who are in Christ are cleansed by his blood, past tense, from all unrighteousness. Now you can look in the mirror and go, wait a minute, I don't see that. But if you looked at you from God's side, that's exactly what you would see. He would look upon you, washed in the blood of Jesus, and say, because of my son, you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now, I can look at myself and see plenty of unrighteousness. But from God's perspective, I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. So what we have here then is we're both forgiven and cleansed by the completed action of Jesus on the cross. So guess what that means? We are free to walk in the light. Free to walk in the light. It's not a compulsion. It's not trying to earn something. It's not trying to prove something to the world. It is simply acknowledging that I have been made new in Christ because of his completed forgiveness and his completed cleansing. Therefore, why would I continue to live like this, what Paul describes in Colossians 3? See, confession then becomes about restoring relationship, restoring fellowship with God and other believers. So we go back to what John said. What is the first effect of walking in the light? It's fellowship with God and other believers. So confession then becomes the opportunity for me, if I'm walking in the light, to go to those who I am now in broken fellowship with and restore that fellowship by saying, here's where I've walked in the darkness. Starts with God. Now, if you think about Psalm 51, after David had been caught in his sin with Bathsheba, he sits down and writes Psalm 51. Do you remember there's a line in there where he says, I have sinned against you and you alone. But wait a minute, David. You coerced a woman into having sex with you. She got pregnant. You killed her husband. The baby's now dead. How can you say I've sinned against you and you alone? Because David was walking in the light and recognized that when he stepped into the darkness, the consequence of that sin was he had now broken fellowship with God. That was the problem. It wasn't his actions. It was the loss of fellowship. So when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. Therefore, when we step into the darkness, confession is our opportunity to go to God and say, God, I've broken this fellowship. Have I done wrong? Yes. Are there consequences? Absolutely. But the biggest problem in my world is I've chosen something or someone over you. And now our fellowship is strained. See, confession is about restoring the fellowship with God and other believers. It's not simply speaking of list of sins to someone. We see that in other church traditions. You go in and you talk to someone who has spiritual authority in the church and you tell them, here are my sins. And what do? Go do this. Go say this. Go walk this. Go carry this. And it'll all be covered. But that flies in the face of what John's saying here in the sense that forgiveness is accomplished. And so if we recognize that the issue of our sin is not that we've done bad, but that we've broken the fellowship with God and with other believers, then confession becomes about restoring that fellowship. And so that fellowship gets broken because we step out of the light and we say, I must confess. Listen, I don't know too many people that need me to go to them and say, I have wronged you in this way. They already know how I wronged them. They felt it. But what they need sometimes is for me to go to them and say, I have strained this relationship by doing this, by choosing this. I want to make that right. And so God knows our sin, right? Everybody would say that. We all acknowledge that. He's seen every sin we've committed. But to go to him in confession with this idea of, God, I must tell you what my faults are, where I failed, my lyings and my sexual immorality and my impurity and my harsh words and all those things, my malice, my anger. He already knows it and sees it. Confession isn't about that. Confession, in the sense that John speaks of it in 1 John, is to go to God and say, God, in these things, in these ways, I have walked in the dark. I have broken my fellowship with you, and I can't restore it. I need you to. So now do you see how accomplished forgiveness and accomplished cleansing actually invite us to come back into walking in the light in fellowship with God and with other believers? And it has to be accomplished and done for us to be able to do that. We can't walk into unfinished business and go, let me back in. And so understanding that the forgiveness of God in the blood of Christ and the cleansing done upon us through the blood of Christ is accomplished and forgiven enables us to go back and restore the fellowship through confession when we break it. And so our cleansed state of being free from all unrighteousness in Christ, of not walking, allows us to walk in the light, not perfectly, but increasingly and continually. And so confession as a practice should actually begin with the people closest to us, which means God first. Confession as a practice, part of our daily routine, as a spiritual discipline, whatever you want to call it, should start with God first, then with those who we live most closely with, family and close friends. But confession doesn't stop there. It only starts there. We should be people, if we're walking in the light, that are the first to see our own faults and flaws in relationships. Because I'll tell you what happens in the world. In the world, in those who are walking in darkness, they see your faults and flaws first. That shouldn't be for us. We should be people who can look in the mirror and say, I see my sin clearly. I see the steps I've taken in the darkness clearly. Yours, now your darkness, your sin is a little bit murkier. It's a little bit harder for me to see. But honestly, it's because I'm not trying to illuminate it. I'm not shining the spotlight on your sin and your failings and your walking in the darkness because I don't have enough light for mine and yours. I'm going to keep it on mine. Because when I see mine, then I can actually walk in the light. There's some words that are super hard to say for human beings. Three things that are super hard for human beings to say. I'm sorry, I was wrong, and Worcestershire sauce. Forget about the third one, but start using the first two. We have to be people, if we're going to walk in the light, that our instinctive, reflexive response, when a relationship is strained, when the fellowship is broken, we go to that person and say, I am sorry, I was wrong. And let's go grill a steak and we'll douse it with Worcestershire sauce. And we'll have fellowship again. But that's the reality of walking in the light. The reality of walking in the light is because we have been forgiven, because we have been cleansed, there is nothing I need from you to make this relationship right. I have all that I need in Christ to live in the righteousness of Christ, which means just like he owned my stuff, I will own yours if necessary for the sake of fellowship. But make no mistake, it's about the fellowship. It's not about someone acknowledging their flaws and their faults, telling you you were right and they were wrong. It's about fellowship. And so if we're going to live out love in action, it starts in our homes. And it starts in our homes by going to our family, our spouses, our kids, and acknowledging when we've walked in the darkness and we've strained that fellowship. You want to see a household change? Start with that. Start there. Knowing that when there's some darkness, it's probably fellowship that was lost first. We lost the fellowship with the light. We walk in the darkness. Think about that if you're raising children. Your kids are starting to walk in the darkness. Have you checked your fellowship with them? Have you checked your walk in the light? Are they actually walking in the light by fellowshipping with you? Or are they living how you walk and now it's become a problem for you? See, this is all about fellowship. Confession restores the fellowship. So for this week, your love in action is to confess your sins. It's to go to the person who you have sinned against that's resulted in a relationship being strained. Go to the person who you have broken fellowship with by walking in the darkness, the person who has been or is being hurt by the evidences of walking in the darkness that Paul talks about, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the passion, the evil desire, the covetousness, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the slander, the obscene talk, the lying. When these things have shown up in your life, who is the person that you've lost fellowship with? That is the person you go to this week. That's the person you go and say, I need to restore this fellowship through confession. And you confess your part in breaking that fellowship. But you start with God. You go to him first, just like David did, and say, Lord, I know I broke the fellowship between you and I when I said these mean words to this person. Knowing that because of the forgiveness and cleansing of Jesus' blood, to walk in those things now is not being who you are. Recognizing that when you walk in those things, you're not being yourself. And so confessing to God and to the one that you've hurt is walking in the light. And walking in the light is love in action. And its sole purpose is to restore fellowship. Confession isn't about removing the consequences of sin or getting somebody to trust you again or making the situation better. It's about restoring fellowship with God and with the one you've hurt. Period. End of story. If you expect anything more from that than that, when you confess, you're confessing with a wrong heart. See, true confession is simply this. I've walked in the darkness in this way, in this moment. And I don't care about avoiding consequences. I am just interested in restoring the fellowship. See, there's a place of confession that's actually built into our Christian walk. It's the ordinance of communion. We're going to participate in that ordinance together now. And so I want to invite you into spending time in quiet reflection before God. Sit before him with this bread and this juice that reminds us of the completed forgiveness and cleansing that comes from the blood of Jesus. We're going to sit before God and just confess all those areas where we've walked in the darkness and ask him to bring to mind those whom we've harmed, those who we've broken fellowship with, so that we can confess to them as well. Hopefully today, but certainly soon. And so, feel free to take the juice and the bread whenever you want, but we're going to have a song, and we want you to just sit in this space with this song. We invite you to just stay in this space, listen to this song, sit before God with a heart open to him revealing the places where you've walked in the darkness to you with a heart open, desiring to restore that fellowship with God that's a product of walking in the darkness so that you can walk in the light just as he is in the light. Feel free to take that bread and that juice when you're ready, and then just join in worshiping God for his forgiveness and his cleansing whenever you feel like it. Take as long as you'd like. Don't feel any pressure to join into this song until you're ready. And as you know, every Communion Sunday we take up a benevolence offering, and we'll be taking that up at the very end of this service because we don't want anything to creep into this space other than confession that restores fellowship with God and with each other. Father, we thank you so much that we can even come to you this way, because apart from Christ, apart from the cross and the resurrection, we have no right to come to you and to seek to be in fellowship with you. We have no right to come to you and confess in a way that restores fellowship. Father, if it weren't for Christ, the cross, and the resurrection, we would have no path into your presence. And yet, Father, we stand here now as people who have the freedom to walk in the light because we've been forgiven, because we've been cleansed. Let this time enliven our hearts and our minds with this reality. Let the times we've broken our fellowship with you and with our brothers and sisters in the light break our hearts in this moment and help us call to mind those we need to go to and ask to restore that fellowship through the discipline of confession. We thank you for this space, and we know we could never enter into it apart from your Son, and so it's in his name we pray. Amen.